Once upon a time, I thought to myself, I would really like to be a friend to Jesus. I was reading about him in the Gospels, and he's so wonderful. But he was lonesome because those disciples didn't have the Holy Spirit yet, and they couldn't get what was going on. Sometimes they'd kind of get it. And I thought, since you have called me and I love you so much, I would like to be a friend to you. I would like to make you happy occasionally. You know, I've really drained you for many years of unhappiness, but I would like to make you happy. And so I was thinking, how can I learn to do that? What? And in Ephesians it says, try to learn what pleases God. And so I went through the concordance, you know, do this, do that, don't do this. And I thought, no, this is too many things, and I'm going back to legalism, which I grew up with as a child. So I thought, what can I look at to see what pleases God? Well, obviously, guess who pleases God totally? The Son of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who came and did everything totally according to his Father's will. But, I'm human. So where can I look to see somebody that I know God said pleased him? And what came to my mind was a little verse that we are going to encounter probably many times. It could be the subtitle of our study. And that is the person David in the Old Testament, whom God called a man after my own heart. Have you ever used that phrase? You're a girl after my own heart. I say to some friends sometimes. And I've been thinking about what that means. And kind of what it means is that we are kindred spirits, that we have the same values, we think the same things are funny. We are knitted in that way. We're after the pattern of the same heart. Okay? But it's also, there's another side to it, and I think that has to do with pursuit. David was a man after God's heart. He was pursuing. He wrote Psalm 42, which says, my soul is panting like a hunted deer. Because it's talking about a hunted deer who finds a brook, and it's just desperate for water. And he says that about fellowship with God. He's gotten so busy, or he's been so distracted, and he's panting for that face-to-face relationship with God. And so those two aspects of it, a man or a person, and in our case a girl, after God's own heart, is somebody who has certain qualities that make God glad, even if their obedience isn't 110%, as people are fond of saying. But somebody that God can relate to, a kindred spirit somehow in a human, where he can disclose the things that he cares about. And also somebody who will follow him uphill and down dale. Just never leaving him alone. He loves that when we pester him, like your doggy who wants to get up on you all the time. He loves that kind of thing. And that's what we are going to see in the story of David, King David, who in earthly terms was the greatest king that Israel ever had. Solomon was richer, and you know they reached a kind of a golden age then, but King David was always looked at as the Renaissance guy. And as you learn about him, you'll see. Probably you've already been exposed to his story because he's such a fascinating hero and character in many movies and storybooks. Jesus' Bible book for children?
Jesus' Bible storybook or something.
Bible storybook. I want to go back and read that myself. Oh, here, we have a visual aid. Thank you. Thank you for bringing it. Apparently, a lot of the grandmothers and mothers in our group have recommended this. So it's called the Jesus Storybook Bible.
So every story in this, particularly Old Testament, brings it back to Jesus. So adults use it
Genesis.
As devotionals.
Starting with Genesis,
yeah.
Every story
has a wonderful
brings
way
it to Jesus.
Of just communicating and writing.
Okay.
Highly recommend.
Anne has just expressed what the heart of this matter is, why we are studying. Why we are studying an Old Testament guy, as fascinating as he is, what is that going to do to us? Besides, when I was a little girl, I'd read about these heroes and I'd go, deal me out. You know, I'm a scaredy cat. Talk about going up against Goliath. you know, I'm back there with the cheese. I don't want to go out there. And then I found out that what's happening in the Bible is not just stories. They are testimonies to the heart of God. I tell this story, and I'm running, but I have a good friend, my best friend. She's with the Lord now. She got pregnant in high school. They divorced. She had a beautiful little girl. They had to share custody. And one summer, because my friend had remarried and had moved to Vermont, and this was in Texas, she got a phone call, and it was the guy's parents saying, "We're not sending her back to you because you're an unfit mother. And it was Jill was kind of a hippie, but she was a wonderful mother, and he was a wonderful daddy, just unorthodox a little bit. But they said, "We've cut her hair, we've burned her clothes, and we've told her that she's not going to be seeing you again." Can you imagine?
No.
Well, the horror of that, the helplessness in the days before cell phones or any kind of stuff. You can just, I mean, think on it, but don't, not too hard, because it'll undo you. But what Jill's daddy did was he got every hotshot lawyer in the state of Texas together pronto and called in all the people that knew Jill to testify to her character. She was quirky, but she was the most loving. She was a wonderful teacher. The little girl adored her, loved being with them, and her new husband was planning to adopt. It was, you know, but what had happened was this. The enemy had gotten in there and was alienating Kim's affections from her mother very deliberately. And one day, when I was reading in Genesis about the fall, and I heard God's, "Oh, what have you done?" I realized I was hearing what Jill went through. That God had this wonderful relationship, and then the enemy had come in and had begun to malign God and tell lies that he was not good, that he didn't want to share, that he didn't love them, that he was wanting to be a master, and all this stuff, right? Can you see the connection? It connects in my brain, but... And so what God had to do all these centuries before, in the fullness of time, he could send Jesus Christ fully him, to truly, fully represent him, he had to assemble testimonies about who he actually was and is. Do you follow that?
Mm-hmm.
So what we have in the Bible is testimony after testimony, century after century, of the ones who were people looking for God, who could get it when God revealed something, who could trust and obey when he told them, like Abraham, go out, and Abraham says, "We're not going to tell you, just keep going." That kind of stuff. And David is one of those people. And so what we do in this Bible study, because we're not here for information, we're here for transformation. And that happens when a little duck imprints on its mother, right? It's by looking at the heart and the spirit of God that we get transformed as we behold his glory. So why are we studying David? He's very interesting. He's cute. You know, apparently, Michelangelo says so. But why are we looking at him? Here's a prop that I brought, and I hope it will be meaningful to you. This is this is on my vanity in my bathroom, and what I'm describing, folks, is a little metal thing. It's from World Market. I mean, it couldn't be cheaper. Glass and metal, and in fact, it's got face powder on it. But the deal is, I don't look at the box. I look in here for some of my almost every day I wear jewelry. But what I'm really looking for when I go into this box is this heirloom ring that I've already told some of you about in a message one time. This is the only serious jewelry I've really got. And so I don't spend much time just looking at that little glass thing, do I? I look through it to look for the thing that's really precious. Do you get how that connects? Mm-hmm. So we are looking at a story, and when we see godly characteristics in our hero, whatsoever things are true and lovely and worthy of praise, we look at that and we say, David is shining forth something that's like God. Now, but David, see, it's a wonderful bridge because David's also a big fat sinner, just like us. And he can do really stupid things, and we, and warts and all. The best thing about David is that we don't just read his story from the outside, but we've got 150, well, some are authored by others, but a good 100, I'd say, poems that he wrote about spiritual things that were going on and how God came in and helped him. And he was candid and articulate about how horrible he felt, or how impatient he was, or how desperate he was. Where are you, God? How long is this going to continue? Have you felt that a little bit lately? I think. And so in David, and we're going to be looking at the Psalms for a lady in Africa told me one time, I was speaking there, and I thought, I haven't been through anything like these ladies have been through. This is really kind of a mockery for me to be spouting anything. And I asked this lady, you know, did we contribute anything? And she said, you gave us words for our sorrow. Which I think of as when I look at the Psalms, you give me words. I recognize myself. I diagnose myself in the Psalms. So David is one of the most wonderful places to go. We might think, oh, I'd like to be in the Gospels. And by all means, go there. Read that constantly. Look directly at the precious thing as you can. But let's see how God worked in an ordinary human man with terrific characteristics, terrific potential, and turned him into such a great king that, you know what Jesus called himself sometimes, how he referred to himself and how people called out to him? Son of David. Son of David, help me, the blind man, son of David. And he received that name happily because of, and he was of the house and lineage of David. So as we read our stories, and this is going to be kind of a mantra every time, look and see what characteristics there are godly that give you a sense of the heart of God. Look and see about God's providence to David and think, he's not partial to anybody. If he's with him up against his Goliath, he'll be with me up against mine. And that's where faith comes in, where we look at those stories, we learn about God, and then we say, I can leap over a wall with God's help. I can crush a troop, and all those things that David learned that he could say. So I'm just going to name these. Honesty before God is one thing. Total transparency. He knows everything anyway. You might as well not edit your prayers. I used to edit them. Now I just howl. Because that's, you know, if you heard a real good actor do those songs, they'd be howling. It wouldn't be like the readers, you know, oh God, how long? You know. A sense of total dependence on God for the outcome. The ultimate authority and power is his. David was a good shot, okay? But that trajectory was God's deal to get that right in that giant's head. Saul probably was a pretty good spear chugger. Have you ever thought of that? And God was in charge of that trajectory, so David saw that spear come and was able to get out of the way. We're going to see instances of this all over the place, so put on your cap with the bobbly things. Zeal for God's glory, wanting him to be acknowledged and thanked for stuff. He didn't want the praise. You know, it's like us and Jesus. We want people to love him. If I could lock you all in a room and not let you out until you were totally smitten and swooning around, I would do it, but that's his thing to do. Love for God's word, and you will, even if you're real new, and by the way, we've got Bibles for anybody who doesn't have them, and you can mark them up and really have a good time, make your home there. appreciation of God's acts in history.
What was the one you just said?
I said love for God's word. This is what we'll get here as you join us. You'll get a sense of God's acts in history because you'll hear where we've been praying for a couple of years for something and now, you know, it's burst forth and we all rejoice together and we make much of it so that in the current waiting, we remember he did come through and he will come through. A passionate hatred of evil. I bet everybody in here has got that. Just there's just something that, and a hatred of evil in your own heart. So you can say to God, it's not so much us and them. It's, Lord, I hate this pride in me. I hate this self-absorption. I'm so tired of it. Please get rid of it. And please show me where I'm fooling myself about stuff. Because I really want it out. It's garbage. A teachable heart. Viewing every day. It's kind of a classroom with a terrific teacher. You know, with complete with parables and stuff. Appreciation of creation. I bet that's pretty widespread in here, too, because the creation tells the glories of God. Even when we can't see, we can hear. We're not here, we can feel. And the characteristics of a designer of something so incredible. Humility. And that's different from dependence. To be humble is to tell yourself every day, I'm a creature. I'm a creature. Like creation is a creature. I'm a creature. I didn't create me. I didn't insert me here. I'm not charged me leaving either. I am a creature, but if I know my creator, then it doesn't scare me that I'm so kind of tiny. In fact, I kind of like it. Humility means humus, means earth. Remember that we are earth. And we can't have perfection demanded of us by ourselves or anybody else, and God doesn't. And then abandonment in worship. Just being willing to speak his name, to praise him. And again, you don't have to be one of those ladies who can dance and wave banners if you've ever been to one of those kind of worship services. I've always envied that freedom, but I don't have it. But I can get my hands up. And various other things. So those are the things, some of the things you're going to be looking at. When you go to your small groups, you will have, we hope you will do your homework and actually get in the scriptures because this isn't like another book. Your eyes don't just look at it. It goes in. It's like a seed that goes in and it starts blooming. So go to the Word, do your homework, and if you can't, we know how busy you are, you can certainly be, yes. And this is, especially the Building on the Basics. This is a wonderful curriculum that we like because there's the first part that says, here's the information, this is what happened in the story, and then there are wonderful questions that apply, and that's what we kind of end up discussing and praying about. So I know I went long, but we have some time, don't we, to have our small groups and to get acquainted, and we go to 11:30, so my goodness.
So Betsy, the homework for next week is lesson one.
Lesson one, and if you don't have this little card, maybe your small group leader will have one. You are not assigned to a small group. You can just kind of mosey through, or if somebody invites you, I hope somebody will just say, hey, you look cute. You come to ours. And anything else?
If you want a pie, see me.
Oh, if you want a pie, see Heidi. Heidi for pies. Okay, let's pray, and then please introduce yourself after we finish praying, and then all heaven can break loose. You get more coffee, and then kind of mosey, and then your small group leaders will be your bo peep. And I'll ring the bell again. The bell seems to be a signal to everybody lately to just continue doing whatever you're doing. But it is meant to tell you, you might want to. do it. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day again. And thank you for the people we're going to meet and the love we're going to feel in our small groups. We ask, Lord, that as we study this coming week, that your face will be the face we see. We're going to see a lot of sin in these stories as it leads up to David coming. We're going to see a lot of failure, but we're going to see a lot of faithfulness from you. So we ask that you would focus our eyes on those things and strengthen us. And if there's anybody here who hasn't received the Lord, we just tell you it's very simple to do, and that is to turn to him and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I am a sinner. I need your presence, and I want a fuller indwelling of you. I have to say that every day. So wherever we are, you know, you can start there. We ask, Father, that, again, that you would be glorified and that you would watch over us until we're together again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. As I said, why don't you introduce yourselves?